You're listening to the Potential Cast. This is our first episode for Welcome to the Hellmouth. Buffy Summers, a high school sophomore, transfers to Sunnydale. There she meets her new watcher and learns she cannot escape her true destiny. My name is Stephanie.
My name is Kimberly.
I'm Gabby.
And I'm Illyrio.
Okay. Well, first of all, how did y'all enjoy it?
I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I had to turn off my brain a little bit. It was reminding me of Reaper a little bit, with some of the monsters and those kind of scenarios where there's monsters existing in the real world. But I liked it.
Okay, good.
I also have to say it was fun. It was a little too, I want to say hokey for me, but it was a bit weird. But I kept flashing back to that time in my life, and I was like, really, did we dress like this? I kept thinking. And I probably did, and I have to go back, and if I find a picture of me dressed like Buffy, I'll be horrified.
I thought that what I liked was a lot of fun, and what I disliked was kind of excruciating watching an amateur open mic night.
Sensation. Oh God, yes.
But it didn't spoil it for me because, you know, I have the foreknowledge of it lasted 7 seasons. So it can't be that excruciating for that long.
I know the first time I watched season 1, I couldn't watch it all. I couldn't stand it.
I don't know. Is it okay? This might be a little bit of a side note, but the way that the vampires look, they look more like clowns in a way. I don't know if it's like if they have that same look after the first season, but they really look like paper mache and fake.
I'm really glad I never went to any of your birthday parties, kid.
Really, they do change. They change over time. Starting out, the fangs give the actors a hard time. They can hardly speak with the fangs now, and it does change.
Okay.
Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. Sometimes they put a lot of makeup on them and try to make them look pale.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work. And that don't last very long. Okay. But, yeah. Yeah, what really bothered me the first time I watched Welcome to the Hellmouth was Buffy's fighting.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And it gets so much better.
Because you can tell when they cut away to like her stunt double because she's a little bit thicker than her. And
there's probably some stubble on his face.
Yes.
I have to admit that during some of the action sequences, I just checked out. I'm like, okay, this is fun, but I can't do this. And then I kept telling myself, this is older. This is just a pilot episode, so it's going to get better. But it was fun.
Yes.
When I first watched it, I had to put myself back into the 90s. Put yourself back 13 years ago, you know, how it was.
And you know what's funny? The day after I watched the show, there was something on Twitter, like, share Michelle Geller and her, like, 4-year-old daughter. I was like, oh my God, this is so weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Did y'all get what I was saying about the performances were, like, heightened or exaggerated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yes.
It felt like I was watching Heroes. Well, it kind of did because it was all... It was high school or elementary school drama where there's kind of stuff happening and then all of a sudden someone steps forward and they have their little monologue and then they step it and then they kind of step back into the scene and it kind of feels a little like that.
You know who's the worst at that is the, I guess it's the actress that plays Cordelia. I noticed most of her. I just want to, like, smack her.
Her name is Charisma Carpenter.
Oh, of course.
Oh, God. I hated her.
I can't stand her. But the one that's sort of, like, I think that's got it is, like, Xander. Because he's really funny, and I think that he sort of gets where the writing is supposed to go, and he gets, like, how
Unfortunately, his timing, I think, is awful.
Just a bit right now.
Hopefully he's just getting warmed up.
I hope that he gets better.
Yeah, but I've heard a lot of people say that they think that Joss's dialogue, that it takes a while for actors to get the rhythm of his dialogue.
Uh-huh. Because when you hear it, I kind of hear what they're trying to do, but it's hard to write conversational writing in a script.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for the actors to get it. But, oh, every time I see Cordelia and she has, like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe I did that. And I'm like, shut up.
Well, okay, well, you want to, let's get into our points of revelation.
Sure.
Okay, who wants to start?
I think Kim should, in honor of us ripping off TLI.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think we kind of touched on it already. Like, for me, watching it, I was taken out sometimes at how bad the vampires looked when they were vampires. And the first girl vampire, I was like, oh my God, that's the wife from Dexter.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
I have that in my notes, as a matter of fact. That's my very first note.
There are so many actors, and I'm sure it's going to happen throughout the 7 seasons. I'm like, oh, there's so-and-so from that show. Like,
yes.
The first guy was, I think he's on CSI New York right now. I don't watch that show. But I know of him.
What's great is that the show's set in California, and he's got this thick New Yorker accent.
New York accent, right. There's
nobody. But it's something or something. Like, right there, if you can get past that bit of maybe it's something or something, I think if you can get past that, you could probably live through the rest of it, because that was probably the worst delivered line of the entire episode.
And it was the very, second line?
Something like that.
The entire series?
But yeah. Poorly cast.
Yeah.
And Julie Benz, she talks with, like, this baby talk. Or something. And I don't know if it was that or so much the bangs. I couldn't stand that.
which brings us right back to the 90s. It brings us right back to the 90s. Yeah. Bangs.
Wait, the bangs were also used to cover up the poor makeup job they might have done on her face.
I guess
but
so.
But you're right about the baby talk, because I was like, why? But then she's 10 years younger, so her voice might be higher. But I was like, oh.
I know, I couldn't stand Darla at first, but over time, I really enjoyed Julie Benz, and I'm a big fan of her now. I would watch her in anything, and I think she's gonna be in a new show this fall with Michael Chiklis about a family of superheroes.
Oh, it's like it's a real life version of The Incredibles, I think.
Yeah, it's called No Ordinary Family.
Yeah, No Ordinary Family.
So is she part of the series? I guess she comes back then, because I thought she was done after this episode.
We will see a lot of her.
Okay, that's good. Because I thought Eric Belfour, I was like, I don't remember him being on the show, and then his demise.
Yeah. Yes, and about him, Joss has this thing where he wanted to put Eric Balfour's name in the main credits, mm-hmm. so it would be a shock to you that he was killed off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I also thought David Boreanaz was a main character, but he keeps coming up as guest star.
Right. He becomes a main character, I think, maybe next season.
Okay. And another thing, if I'm jumping ahead, is it supposed to be a surprise that...
Hi there, listeners. It's Illyrio here with a spoiler warning. Kim is about to spoil Gabby about, you know, something on the show. And if you're very strict about spoilers, you don't want to be spoiled about anything, please advance to the 11:00 mark. The spoiler's coming in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Angel is a vampire to Buffy?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you spoiled me.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert.
I honest to God had, this is so stupid, I had no idea, and I was listening to,
Did I ruin that?
Well, I'm like, something is weird about him, but I was listening to, Confessions of an Internet Addict today, where they were talking about, the Vampire Diaries, and they started talking about Buffy. I'm like, and I had to go and stop it, because I didn't want to get ruined.
Kim. Here the spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
I guess we don't need MB guest hosting on this podcast.
You can beep it out. Beep it out.
Yeah, I think I probably will, actually.
Oh. No, I'm sorry. I thought it was common knowledge that he was a vampire. But anyway, sorry.
Well, I mean, a lot of people did know that he had his own show.
Yeah.
Now, that's why I guess Gabby knew.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
Well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm fired.
I'm
you know what? I'll probably leave it in and put in some kind of lame spoiler alert warning.
Because I'm the lamest person in the world.
Not at all.
Realize that. I'm like, what? You're such an idiot. Oh, well.
All right. Another point of revelation.
Cell phones were gigantic in 1995.
Was there a cell phone in the first episode?
I don't remember. I think, does it, Cordelia pulls one out of her
suit? Yes, really? She does. Like, I need to call everybody I know.
You know, I was like, holy crap, that is the biggest cell phone I have ever seen. And then I remembered it was 1997.
And Buffy had a beeper. Come on.
And bangs.
And bangs, too.
True.
Oh, God.
My point of revelation, I have, like, three of them. The Slayer's a teenager? Really? Like,
yep.
Let's give the most important possible role in the history of the world someone who has to defeat the demons trying to come back to the Earth, and let's put this particular responsibility in the hands of someone who's going through huge changes in her life.
Yes.
And is probably misunderstood and going to feel more of an outcast than already she is. Make sure she's in high school. Mm-hmm. And let's see how things pan out.
Well, okay. This is
so far,
what I have
so good.
This is what I have to say about that. The very first scene where the boy and the girl are sneaking in the school and mm-hmm. something's... They hear something, and you expect for the girl to be the damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that she's the predator, and the boy is in trouble. That scene is supposed to tell you right off the bat that this show is taking your expectations of what usually happens and flipping it on its head.
Oh, that's what it was supposed to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like a girl power thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So when you think about that time, you had like the Spice Girls and you had all these other things mm-hmm. going on. Everything was so overly girl powered.
Like Dark Angel too, doesn't that? Or that's
right. Yeah. Jessica Alba. That was around that time too, wasn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Watcher, which I think is pretty big, you know. There's this kind of
Giles.
You know, this person who's supposed to kind of, I guess, fostered, you know, the development of the Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
But they're quite... I mean, I remember from the movie, Donald Sutherland was a little bit more proactive than Giles is, at least at this moment. Maybe Giles will get a little bit more, you know, proactive in training. But I just felt it was a little odd to have, you know, there's a Slayer and a Watcher. And, like, you know, like, he's got to make sure that she's ready and stuff.
Yeah,
I get the whole, I get the whole it's not your traditional damsel in distress, you know, it's the girl that's going to save the day type stuff, but the whole teenager aspect of it really threw me for a loop because, you know, it's got to be probably the worst possible choice.
Yeah.
Well, but go ahead, Illyria.
And my final point, who lights all those candles on the ground? Like, there's that one scene where they show us where the vampires are hanging out, and there's candle after candle, and some of those candles are really difficult to reach.
It's one of the slaves.
You know? Well, but then, you know, I think about it, is like, vampires can fly, right?
Can they?
They can drive cars.
They can drive cars.
But, touche. But, I mean, if the Lost Boys has taught me anything, you know, they can fly. So maybe they just have, you know, the guy, it's his first week. Hey, you, buddy, it's your turn to light the candles. But there are a lot of candles under there.
Well, yeah. They're in the dark, so they don't have electricity in the sewers.
Yeah.
Right? So the bald vampire, right?
The master?
Yeah, but he's his voice is very familiar. I don't know the actor's name, but is he the dude from the Twisted Sister video?
Yes, from Animal House. Needlemeyer?
Sure.
I forget the name of Animal House. But what do you want to do with your life?
Yeah, that's all I think of, because it sounds like him. That was such a random pull, but yeah. I was like, that's got to be him. Embarrassing.
Wow.
Gabby, what about yours?
Buffy is she's a reluctant or bitter vampire slayer.
Right. She's mad.
Yeah.
She thought that she was leaving all this stuff behind at Henry. She thought she was coming to a new school, a new community, and she was gonna be a normal teenager and she was gonna be like Cordelia. That's what she thought. She wanted to be boy crazy and go shopping and just do normal teenage girl stuff. And when she got to Sunnydale and found out that there are all these people there waiting on her, like a watcher, and the vampires know what a slayer is, you know, she's mad.
Yes.
She is mad.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I'm like, wow, she kind of has an attitude about it. She doesn't seem particularly thrilled about being, although she seems to have an awful lot of experience. I mean, beheading with X-Acto knives and, doing what all she does.
Well, that's funny. Go ahead, Gabe.
Oh, no. That's okay.
I was saying that I'm reading the first omnibus that are the collection of the comics. And the first one is the origin, Buffy's origin, and it is everything that takes place, like it, one of the comics is the movie. Okay. And some of the comics is what happened after the movie and before the start of the TV show. So she goes to Las Vegas and she has a whole experience in Las Vegas. So yeah, she has had a good bit of experience killing vampires and such.
Yes.
And with her being so bitter, it's like there's always a one-liner that just makes you roll your eyes. Like she'll go to kick someone. I could have been at the mall. Boom. And it's like I hope that doesn't get old or at all, if it happens at all, but but yeah.
Yeah, they seem to tame that down some.
That's good.
It kind of evolves.
What do you guys think of Willow?
I like her. I really do. I saw a little bit of me when I was in high school and her with being like a little naive and awkward and I wore overalls like that back in the day. But out of all of the characters, she seemed to be the one that I liked the best so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then Xander. I like him. He's so smooth. I think that's why.
I like Xander a lot. Yeah.
I mean, I have to say that were I watching this when it first aired, I'd probably have like a crush on Willow because she was like totally my type back then. But it's weird. It's like I can tell right away she's like probably the best actor.
I think she's had the most experience, except for Sarah Michelle Gellar. Sarah Michelle Gellar was on All My
Spots
Children.
Crossing. Hello. Did anyone watch that besides me?
I don't think so.
I don't even know what that is.
It was on for one summer, like on PBS when I was 14. Let's move
on. Is that on American?
It was an American show, yeah. Oh, okay. If anyone knows what Swan's Crossing was, they're laughing right now, because, yeah. Anyway.
But she won an Emmy, a daytime Emmy, when she was on All My Children.
She was in Lucy's Daughter? I don't watch All My Children, but that's
She was whose daughter?
Susan Lucci's daughter?
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
But now, Allison Hannigan was in several movies. She was, like, in My Stepmother's an Alien or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. With Kim Basinger and Dan
Aykroyd.
Oh, my God.
Something
I'm like such a nerd.
You're blowing my mind.
Yeah, I really like Willow. And it's strange because I know her from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
And to me, she's like playing the same character almost. Maybe it's just her delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really like her. And it's so strange that you say, because like that Illyrio, you think he was, she's kind of your type. And Gabby and I both like Xander when they're supposed to be like the nerd that nobody looks at in school.
Yeah, it's almost as though there's a direct correlation between podcasting and being nerdy. It's weird.
Whoa. You are blowing my mind.
But I think what the deal is you can't really relate to Buffy because she's a superhero. And so Willow and Xander are there for you to kind of connect with. You can connect with them better than you can somebody with superpowers.
Sure.
But I can see why Xander was like accepted into the gang, into the Scooby gang, because he found her steak. Y'all got to learn the lingo.
Oh, you didn't make that up? That's like,
no. These are the Scoobies.
Oh, God.
Awkward.
Okay. That's kind of fitting since she actually then starred in the Scooby-Doo movie.
Yes.
With her husband.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so Xander overheard the conversations in the library and he found the steak. So that's kind of how he, you know, was accepted into the big secret. Mm-hmm. But why was Willow, was it because Buffy felt sorry for Willow the way Cordelia was treating her? I suppose that's what happened.
I think it's just because Willow was attacked and Willow saw Buffy kill a vampire. That's how she was brought in.
Okay. I thought it happened before that.
Yeah, which brings me to something. Am I the only one that never had a place like the Bronze when they were growing up? There's like this giant club that high school kids can go to.
The Bronze and like the Max. Yeah, I didn't have a Bronze.
No, I had no place like that, no.
Neither did I.
I didn't either. But it is so cool.
Well, they have pretty awesome bands, apparently.
Yeah. Wait till you hear
the theme? Is that like a theme where they have a band that's like featured each week?
Yes, there's a lot of music that comes out of
that's
the Bronze.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Because that music takes me right back to high school. I'm like, whoa.
I think even Alice in Chains at one point is the band.
I'm not sure. Oh,
probably.
I think that may happen. I think that may have happened.
There's Amy Mann has a lot of songs. And a lot of bands that I've never heard of but have great music.
Does the theme song for Buffy ever change? Because I hate the one that's on now.
Really? Oh, yeah. I love it. It never changes.
Oh.
Does the intro always play when you guys watch? Once in a generation.
No.
No? Okay. So it's that's just the ones I have? Okay. Every single episode starts with that for me.
But it's a nice explanation, so you know what you're getting into. It's like, oh, okay. There's a Slayer, and
don't
she
forget,
will...
this is what you're watching.
See, I don't know if that was something of the time or what, because Firefly does the same thing. I don't know if it's just a Joss show thing or what.
So this particular episode is the first part of a two-parter. So cliffhanger basically is,
I don't even remember.
But Luke has Buffy pinned down in the mausoleum.
Yes, in the grave of the mausoleum. Mm-hmm. And it says to be continued.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's his name, Luke? I have such problems remembering people's names.
I think it was Lucas, but she called him Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have it as Luke, yes.
Okay. Now, did you guys take notes?
No. I actually did. Yeah.
Now, I decided to not take notes for the first one, but I took a couple notes for the second one when anything popped up that I thought was a little interesting or weird. But that's pretty good. Does anybody have anything they want to add for the first one before we go on to the second one?
Oh, yeah. What about the principal?
Bob. Principal Bob.
Why? I love that he ripped up her transcript and then taped it back together.
Yes, yes.
That
yes.
was hilarious. But then...
This seems...
Sorry?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, but how come he... Maybe No, it's in the second part, so never mind.
Okay. Well, there just seems to be an ongoing thing of the principal is always giving Buffy a hard time.
Yes. Like, why does he always have one eye on Buffy? Doesn't he have more important things to do?
Apparently not.
Apparently not.
I mean,
I think that maybe later on, like in season 3, we might start to... But a lot of things transpire, and it kind of becomes clear later on what the deal is. Because I kept thinking that the principal was a demon.
Oh.
Or there was something up with the principal. That's what I kept thinking.
That's the thing. If the principal was a demon, why wouldn't he just kill her right then and there?
There are probably rules.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jacob gave to the people.
I have a whole dissertation on how episode 2 is just like season 6 of Lost. I hope you guys are ready. I hope you don't have any plans tonight.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you know, what's funny about that is somebody sent me, Barry Medina sent me a link to a thesis somebody wrote about how Buffy, the overarching, serialization of Buffy, how it inspired... How it changed television, and it inspired different television shows. And in this thesis, and it did not come from anybody's mouth, so I can't say that this is 100% true, but it says that Damon Lindelof had the staff writers in season 1 of Lost watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I hope they didn't watch season 1 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's pretty interesting, though, because I can see how it would change, because from what everyone's saying, it gets better, it gets better. And I can say I've watched maybe 5 episodes now, and 5 episodes in, 5th episode is 1,000 times better than the first one. So okay. It's promising.
Yeah. Well, and also, these episodes were all written and shot at one time, and then it was aired as a mid-season replacement. Hmm. So, they weren't able to adjust anything until season 2.
Oh, so the whole season was like shot at the same time, like
pretty much. Oh,
wow!
Pretty much shot it all at one time, and then it aired later. Wow. And then I think maybe season 2 is like they adjusted from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, because season 1 seems to be pretty much. Very nothing really changes much.
Mm-hmm.
Season 1.
Oh, and we didn't talk about Buffy's mother.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Mm. Wow.
Joyce is one of my favorite characters.
Yeah? Okay, good. Yes. So she gets better?
Yes.
Good to know. That's good. Because it seems strange because, like, the mother is just like, oh, okay, whatever, Buffy. You know, and it's just like, okay, like, how come the mother doesn't have, like, a more... active role in the daughter's life, but I guess that's how the TV show works.
And they like, were
she
really
said, don't go out, and then she just creeps out the window.
Yeah, they like... were really afraid. They really did. You know, like in some high school shows, you never see the parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They really wanted to do that because it was a lot of trouble to show her home life.
Yeah,
but they had sense. To. They pretty much had to show her home life.
Yeah.
And I love Buffy sneaking out her window.
But she didn't even wait for her mother to go down the stairs or anything. She's like, okay, shuts the door and then just rolls up the window and jumps out. Well, okay, Buffy.
It was a dire situation. Lives were
yes. True. That is so true.
But what is so funny is, you know, when she's trying to find an outfit to wear to the bronze, and she says, "Hi, I'm an enormous slut." on the commentary, Joss was afraid. He said the WB did not like that.
Hmm. I'm not surprised. We're
very worried about that, which is so funny compared to what comes later. That is so nothing, you know?
Yeah. I didn't think twice about any of the language they used. I thought it was a little bit... Like, I think she said something when she's like, "Oh my god, I'm so mentally challenged."
Yes, she did.
Yes.
Oh my god. Really? Yeah. But hey, that's like the... So everything she said, I was expecting it to be that, you know, juvenile. Anyways.
So overall impressions of Welcome to the Hellmouth, Buffy Season 1, Episode 1?
I was honestly nervous, because I honestly thought if the rest of this season's like this, it's going to be really tough for me to keep watching. That's what I thought.
Gabby?
I enjoyed it. It was fun. I got to stop realizing that the people that are in it, like Julie Benz and the guy from 6 Feet Under, that's Jesse.
Yeah.
Like, I keep thinking of, like, oh, yeah. Holy shit, that's the guy from 6 Feet Under. Oh my god, that's Rita Morgan. So I gotta stop and realize completely different people. Just yeah. Go with what they are. And I hope the action sequences get better, because they really took me out of it. But other than that, it was entertaining. It was entertainment.
Yeah.
I felt like I was watching Amateur Hour, but I really loved it. It was like watching a video that your friends did, and it was crappy, but it was awesome all at the same time.
So bad, it's good.
Well, no, not so much so bad, it's good, but it's really, really bad, but you're compelled anyway. And I still found it compelling, like, even though there were some really hokey moments and some really overly acted moments and some really poorly executed type stuff that I kind of cringed at, I was still compelled. Like, I still wanted to watch it. I'm you know, like, I still actually find the storyline compelling regardless of how great or poor the execution might be.
Sounds like you oh, just good. Described every show on Canadian television.
now there are some offerings that are pretty darn good.
Okay.
Steph, did we get any feedback?
Yes, we did. We got an email. Oh, shoot. I'm trying to...
She's stalling. She's trying to open it.
hold on just a second. Let me log in.
No problem.
POTENTIAL.
So you can always email us at potentialcast@gmail.com. And check out our website at www.potentialcast.com.
Please feel free to subscribe through the link that says subscribe with iTunes. We're also available on iTunes, so you could do a search for Potential Cast right there in your iTunes music store. We are a free subscription, and we welcome any and all feedback that you may have. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/potentialcast.
Sweet.
Okay. All right, Kelly Jo sent us an email.
Kelly Jo.
Kelly Jo.
It says, "Hey, Gabby, Illyrio, Kim, and Stephanie, or as Will from now on will refer to all of you collectively, Gax." It's Kelly Jo, your favorite loudmouth teenager. I'm so glad that you guys have started this podcast. Now I have something that will commit me to watching Buffy at least once a week. So just try to beat Robin in his podcast touring by saying, if you ever need another Buffy movie as a guest host, count me in. If it didn't keep Robin, oh well, but my offer still stands. I already love the show, Kelly Jo.
Aww. Thanks, Kelly Jo.
Thank you, Kelly
Jo, our number one, number one listener. Okay. So, I want to thank Andrew Berger for our graphic.
Thank you, Andrew Berger.
Thank you.
And thanks to Christopher Jordan Cook for our theme song.
Ghostwatch. It is awesome.
Okay, do y'all have a closing line?
I'm so mentally challenged right now. No, I don't have one.
I know I thought I liked the other one, but then I was going through my notes and I really like pepper spray is so passe. I don't know why. I thought it was hilarious.
I kind of just made one up. Buffy, okay. Kicking ass, taking names, and getting caught by the principal.
Seize the moment, for tomorrow you might be dead.
Awesome.
Okay, let's go watch The Harvest.
The Harvest.
Sweet.
Talk to you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Tell your friends.
Bye. Bye.